There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Machine, your voice sounded weird there for a second.
Yeah, what happened to you?
Nothing.
Are you a reptile?
Are you a machine?
I am not a machine. I am a man.
I don't know. From your gears whirring, it seems like you're a machine.
You got to oil up there, Mr. Parks.
Hello, I am a mailman. No, you're not. You're a cyborg. Get out of here, robo mailman. I don't even trust human mailmen.
That's a good point. All right, welcome to the show. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us, as always,
Post Officer Ranald Jenkins. Hey, you know, hey, Sonny, come down here. I know your mom ain't home. I know because I've been looking in her windows. But I got to say, have you run down in the corner, get me a 24-ouncer and a pack of ciggies, huh? Hey, get on down now. Tell them they know me. You know, mailman Ronald, they know me. You're already
on your feet. You're already walking around.
Little boy, why don't you come? I know your mom ain't home because, you know, I've been casing your family for, you know, years and years and years. Why don't you come out with me to a mailman party? It's just me and a couple of mailmen. We're going to have some suds. You know, I'm going to sit around. We'll tie each other's shoes, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, 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 wink.
Come on, think of it, I've never actually seen you deliver the mail.
No. I just got this big old truck, pin an eagle on it, you know, and call yourself a mailman. That's the main requirements of being a mailman. It's just calling yourself one.
I think that's probably true. You just say it 10 times in the mirror, and then you pass the
class. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're a mailman.
And now you're the mailman. Well, speaking of trucks that are probably going to lead to a murder
so how are you going to get to this?
I am getting
there.
Get in there. Gary Ridgway.
Big hitter series. Can we get a...
We just did.
That's the best we can do.
You got to tell me ahead of time.
Big hitters series. World series. Baseball.
The big hitter series. We're talking about the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway.
Now, this guy...
He's a real demon.
Yeah, tarp as a shack, this guy. This is very different than any other killer that we have covered in our Big Hitter series. A lot of times it's like, these serial killers, these big hitter guys, are like fucking human sharks. They're murder machines, they're clever, manipulative,
you gotta keep on
evil.
Moving or you stop breathing.
Yeah. This man is a bit of a dum-dum. He's got an IQ of 82.
Now, that's high, right?
No.
Abnormally. And by the way, I would describe him as more of a dullard.
He's a dullard.
He is a dullard.
Yeah, but I'll just say it's like my... You know, my cousin's got a bit of the
down. I knew you were
going
to talk about your cousin.
I'm just saying, like, he was a manager of a McDonald's, and if he could keep that job for forever, you know what I mean, then I guess Gary Ridgway stupided his way into being one of the most prolific serial killers of all time.
Yeah.
We use the number one American serial killer in terms of victims. The only ones that really beat him that weren't just, I mean, like, there's a guy named Luis Garavito from Colombia who killed 138, but he was just killing street boys.
Yeah. And they don't count.
Because you can do seven of them at a time.
Sure, they're little.
No, you just put them in a little cage and gas them, and they'll just fucking, they'll drop. You know, you can do that in a second.
Gary
Ridgway did this one, and I'm just saying, Gary Ridgway was more like of an Etsy. He did it handmade, each one at a time. It took him years. He was active for only like 3 years.
Yeah, right? About 2 or 3 years.
But he went uncaught for 30.
Well, going back to that shark analogy, during these 3 years, he definitely did not stop moving. I mean, what, 49 confirmed deaths?
49 confirmed kills that he was convicted for. But a few years after he was caught, he copped to another 20. He went up to 71.
Right.
And the cops do take that seriously.
Absolutely, because if you already kill 49, and by the time they caught him in 2001, right, that it's been 20 years since he's really committed any murders because he fell in love.
That's right.
Which we'll find out.
He fell in love because...
It is. I love it.
Yeah, it calms your incessant sexual urges.
It does,
and keeps you from choking prostitutes to death with ligatures.
Is that what love does? It works in mysterious ways.
But we'll get back to that.
I heard Huey Lewis actually wrote that song about Gary Ridgway falling in love. Yeah, and it got bought by the Back to the Future producers for the Back to the Future soundtrack, and made Huey Lewis and the News sensations of the nation.
Well, isn't that something? Thank you so much, Casey, Perverted Casey.
Of course, his name was the Green River Killer, which was a bit of a misnomer. There's because just,
yeah, again, everybody was stupid. This
everybody
is the classic
was
example.
So dumb. Yeah. They called him the Green River Killer because his first five victims were found in the Green River.
And then he stopped dumping them in the Green River because they called him the Green River Killer.
Of course. Because the man was not a complete idiot.
No, he was kind of like if a fart was a person.
Sure.
He's kind of like if a pile of candy corn was a guy.
Yeah.
That's Gary Ridgway.
He sounds very tasty.
And of course, all of his victims were prostitutes. And as we've talked about on this show before, prostitutes are known as the less dead.
Yeah, half people.
Yeah. And that's why he said that's why he killed prostitutes, because he said they wouldn't be reported missing very soon, if at all. Which a lot of them weren't reported missing
and also,
at all.
And that's this term. Is in the Seattle area, which was a very segregated area of town. It was very there was actually a lot of racism, and he killed largely black prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And then we've learned that all the time. It's if you kill a black prostitute, it's like killing a ghost.
Yeah, and that's the less dead. That's just referring to like they're dead, but people are just like they could care less.
No research is shit. Well, again, but then I watched the awesome BBC series Born Evil, the Born to Kill on Gary Ridgway, and there's a lot of social workers. The original investigations, when we'll go into this, the original investigations were heavily covered by social workers that had been working with sex workers. Like one of his first victims was working with this social worker and just stopped showing up. And she was like, this was a woman. She was like this. The social worker was saying that she was like, you know, down and out. She had resorted to sex work because she was living with her like three kids alone in a hotel room. And she was like just trying to make it.
I like the hotel disappeared. Though. It was kind of fun to be in a hotel room.
When you're a prostitute, you got your three hungry kids. It's not like getting room service and like going out and sitting by the pool. You know what I mean? It's not like down and out in LA. This is, it's your home.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's nice to have a home when you're in a hotel knowing that you can get out of it.
Yeah, because then it's a vacation.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. She wasn't on a vacation.
No. She was on a permanent vacation, which actually sounds pretty relaxing.
Sure. Yeah. Then, of course,
and then she went on an even more permanent vacation when she was strangled to death by the Green River Killer.
Isn't that something? That is the permanent vacation.
Let's go way back to the Wayback Machine.
That's the time machine.
Well, those sounds all like there's pretty primitive things there that you made your time machine out of.
I gotta go back and be in the Mercury radio, like with old Orson Welles. That's when my skill set would have been used.
A ticking clock, a cat, a door opening. That's a Henry Zebrowski's time machine.
A typewriter.
That's good, because you got to tell it where to go.
That's the sound of an operator. Ring, 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 ring. That's a telephone ring.
Sure. And then you were able to crack dimensions with all that.
And what's this?
That's just you eating.
That's just
me eating lunch.
Corn on the cob?
Anything.
So Gary Ridgway was born in Salt Lake City. He was the middle child of three children.
It's these middle kids. They're always a problem.
Trust them.
Always a problem. You can't trust them at all. Greg Ridgway, he was the favorite. Naturally.
It's those blue eyes he has and his simple mouth.
Everyone just like looked at Greg and then they looked at Gary and they were like, Gary's going to be a killer. So, Greg, you're the favorite by default.
So his home life was, of course, super fucked up. He had an extremely domineering mother who used to beat his father regularly. There was even a police report of her breaking a plate over his head.
And he had all of the classic serial killer symptoms. He was a bedwetter until he was 13 years
classic.
Old.
And his mother would take him out of bed.
You got pee pants, Gary. Gary, always peeing. What are you, one of those statues in the park? You fucking little peeing baby.
I mean, I don't even understand why this makes me a statue in the park, but yes.
Pee pants, Gary.
You know?
Does make you want to kill.
That's what he said. Yeah. Like he started torturing animals.
Yeah, he smothered a cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he also was an arsonist. He had the triad.
Yeah, he had all of the serial killer symptoms. Signs.
Did he have any head trauma? Did his mother ever hit him in the head with a plate?
We don't know.
Like
I don't think his mother wasn't physically abusive.
No, he was just born stupid.
Yeah. I mean, he kept on pissing himself.
There are a lot of people the problem is that there are a lot of, it's just serial killers. Ted Bundy was relatively smart and he peed his pants.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's a sign of deep mental insecurity.
Is it safe to say this guy is pretty much the opposite of Ted Bundy?
Yes.
He's extremely stupid.
Except
but
he
stupid.
Got married three times. He still had girlfriends.
Well, they said in high school that he was a ladies man. Like he didn't.
I mean, I just don't know if it's a lady.
I really
don't think it's a ladies man.
I really don't think he was that dumb.
I could see
IQ
it happening.
Of 82.
IQ.
This
this is standardized testing.
I'm serious. Yeah,
he could barely read. He said the whole thing that his mom would have called, basically would like call him into her room and be like, "Read to me," and he'd be like, "The band goes, the band." She's like, "You stupid, Gary. You're stupid. Always being yourself, Gary."
It's nerve wracking when you know your mother's gonna yell at you. She demands that you read in front of her.
Hamburger.
Okay, admittedly, he didn't graduate high school until he was 20 years old.
And hamburger
admittedly.
Was, and that's okay. Hamburger
was not okay.
Sure it is. He's Gary Ridgway.
No, you just sound like every new American superintendent. Sure, let him graduate till the 20. Keeps him out of the workforce.
That's right.
Keeps him out of worry about finding a job. Keep him in high school. Yeah.
And one of his childhood friends also said that snacks were forbidden after school. His friend said... A slice of bread after school was not allowed.
You know what I say? Mama don't give me, you know, candy. Mama gets her breast stabbed.
Well, you don't stab the breast because his mother wanted to make him a healthy young boy.
Well, there's all, and then there's an interview and they were talking about like, so this is kind of where the first impulses that his that made him a serial killer started, where it's like, you know, he was filled with rage against his mother.
I feel like he would love Eminem. You know the rapper Eminem?
Yes.
I think you would love him.
He would be a big fan because it's all about raping mommy.
It's literally about raping your mother.
Because
yeah,
because he would alternate between rages. And they were like talking about in this interview, this woman was like speaking with him and it was him like literally going, she was like, "So what'd you want to do to your mother to shut her up?" You have the clip?
I've got it.
All right, let's play a little of the clip.
"So what was your way of retaliating against her in your mind? What were you thinking to do to your mom?"
I don't know if I was thinking of hurting her. I just wanted her to stop and let me alone. Angry at her for pushing and pushing and pushing on me to remember, and I just couldn't remember and just wanted her to stop.
But she didn't.
But she didn't know.
She didn't stop. So somewhere in the fourth or fifth grade, that sense of helplessness that you had not being able to get her to stop would very likely have produced thoughts of taking back some power and control over your mom to get the bitch to shut up.
Whoa there. Someone sounds like a serial killer. I don't know if it's Gary Ridgway. I think it may be you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mommy didn't give you gushers? What is he bitching about?
Well, no. So basically what she goes on to say is she's like, because he also had a sexual fascination with his mother.
Oh, sure.
And it's like once they, because yeah, you know, how well, many, because you're pretty angry at women, Ben.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, you're pretty angry.
Why are you saying that? I'm not angry with
you're
women.
You're kind of a rage. I mean, you're kind of scary mad about women.
You
know?
Say. I mean, you said something about chopping off legs. The
other night. No, I didn't.
Something about snapping the dolls. You want to take the dolls and you want to make the dolls like forever dolls. Like you said something like that.
No.
And I was like, you want to make forever dolls? And you're like, never mind, never mind, never mind.
Boy, look at his body language right now.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me upset is Bill de Blasio, but we're not talking about that. That's for a different podcast.
But no, his rage turned into this crazy sexuality. And in that interview, he said the same thing where he's just like, "My mother used to sunbathe sometimes and she had a cotton dress and
Stacy's mom has got it going on."
But he would sit and watch his mom sunbathe and just be like, "Sometimes her nipples would be visible through her dress, and I'd be looking, and she never saw me see, and I just wanted her to show me how to be like good at sex, how to make good sex." And it was like, that's like literally.
I mean, if you read that on paper, you're like, that's extremely disgusting. But he is such an adult that when you hear him say it, you're like, get on with it.
God, yes.
Okay, you want to jack off to your mom. Yeah. Let's get to it.
No,
please.
He never says any in this interview, too. I'll post this up this, on the Facebook page.
This interviewer, she just leads him into every direction she wants to lead him to. It's a terrible interviewer.
Words. She wants to hear him say, like, "I want to shut that bitch up by stabbing her."
Right, right.
But
right,
he
right.
did it with his actions.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to say say it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it will give you a bizarre sexual fetish when your mother looks at your penis and she's like that's
peep
where you're
scary.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Yeah, nothing yeah. sexier than that.
Every time he wet the bed, she would yank him out and immediately wash him and wash him.
He's covered in human urine. Yeah, but she seems like a good mother to me. I'm not going to lie.
I think you're fucked up.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do with your kid who, after he pisses himself, you just let him stay in his own filth? That would be worse.
No, but you don't go like, watch yourself.
Now let me watch that ball. Watch your balls. Let me wash that penis. You are scared. It's so dirty. It's dirty. How yeah. you pissing it? Oh, you, now you're
well,
clean.
Well, if she does this when I piss, imagine if I shit myself. I might actually be able to get a full
you're
rim
so
job here.
So dirty down there.
Uh-huh.
She also worked at JCPenney.
Oh, what a bitch.
She had a job. JCPenney was very big during the 80s. It was almost on par with the Sears.
I mean, up there with Dillard's.
Absolutely a Shopko.
Here's an interesting fact about his father. His father was a bus driver, but he was also a part-time mortuary worker.
Okay.
And he used to tell little Gary stories about his co-workers engaging in necrophilia.
Yeah. But that's just funny. My dad used to tell me weird stories all the time about cops.
About necrophilia.
No.
About cops.
No, I'm just fucking around, you know. I'm setting things on fire.
Although some of your stories that your father does tell are very disturbing. Yeah,
one of my favorite stories of him, like, blasting polka out into the Bronx. So they would take speakers out to connect into a boombox and blast polka out into the
it's
projects.
Very bad.
Yeah,
because the black people in the projects, they didn't like
polka.
They didn't
enjoy it.
Yeah. If there was, like, the Irish ghetto, then they'd be like, oh, this is my kind of, or the Polish ghetto, I suppose.
Yeah, like in Warsaw, like your grandpa used to run.
Oh, don't bring it to my grandfather. We're talking about your father. I am one generation removed from my terrible past, but you, my friend, are a direct descendant of hate. Good God Almighty.
You just keep opening the door.
I never open the door. You open the door.
I mean, the door's always open.
Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't even matter.
You can never close it. I mean,
back to Gary's mother being a good mom.
Years of bad memories.
Yeah. Well, by the time Gary got to be a teenager, he started going cuckoo pretty early. At 16, he took a kid out to the woods and stabbed him. The kid was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the kid survived, and he said,
you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, as he walked away, he laughed and said, I always wonder what it would be like to kill someone. He thought he had killed the kid.
But yeah, so how didn't he kill the kid?
He just stabbed him.
Yeah,
he just stabbed him
just
with a
one
pen
time.
Knife. Yeah.
He thought it was like a Shakespearean play, and he's like, and now you die after a nice soliloquy or something like this.
You can
soliloquy.
Stab a kid like a couple of times and it'll live. As long as you don't get it in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or any vital organs that you would attempt to be stabbing
liver,
for when
like
you're trying to kill somebody.
Apparently you stabbed him in the liver.
Yeah. You
and the liver regenerates.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
The liver's fine.
Yeah.
Gary, he claimed to have committed his first murder when he was a teenager. He said that he drowned a young boy by wrapping his legs around him while swimming and holding him underwater until he drowned.
You see, he's just, this guy, he was born with that fault. Mm-hmm. Like he never got out of it. As soon as your sexuality is tied to it, because he got a sexual thrill out of
but now he didn't get a sexual thrill out of these boys. I mean, he's not gay, right?
No, so, he got sexual thrill out of what he felt.
Or a pedophile,
super powerless.
A whole nother, not even gay, a whole nother category of sexual.
He was belittled his whole childhood. Yeah. He felt super powerless. This was a way to take power back. It was the only way, you know, like that's what we said in school, that he was largely forgettable. That's what they called him.
I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, not except like the Nat King Cole song,
Unforgettable. Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure people were just like, what's that? 20-year-old in the freshman class doing here? Is he an undercover detective
cool.
like Drew Barrymore or something like that? So, you guys, you know when you're drinking alone at night and you're like, I gotta kill,
yeah. You know when you pay your taxes?
Oh, God, I fucking hate taxes. But Matlock is on, you know?
Now, here's a period from his life.
Gary's old.
Shut up. You want to be my friend? Let's go to the woods.
Sure thing, Gary.
No, really.
So Gary graduates high school at 20. 21, yes. He joins the Navy, goes to Vietnam.
And they accept him.
Well, yeah.
This is the problem.
It's Vietnam. They were
This is where we need these guys.
That's a good point. I agree. I agree.
Yeah. And he saw combat. So we don't know, but he never talks about his time in Vietnam.
But he had already gotten married.
That's how you knew he saw some shit.
And that's how you know Vietnam was the worst war in American history. And Gary Ridgway is like, so I've been strangling a bunch of prostitutes and things like that. My mom used to make fun of me for pee-pee.
What was Vietnam like?
I lost a lot of good...
Christ.
You know, there's still people over there right now.
POWs of war. The government doesn't care about
them. He got gonorrhea for the first time in Vietnam.
First time is a fucking amateur, man.
And of course they say that's when the prostitutes, boy, he got soured on prostitutes real
fast. Got real mad. Well, this is also, so he'd immediately got married right after high school. He got married to somebody, which is just like, he can find love.
In Salt Lake City, Utah. I mean, Salt Lake City, right? At 20, everyone's married.
No, he was living in Seattle. He was born in Seattle.
Yeah,
they moved to Seattle immediately.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, he did get married, and that marriage ended because they both cheated on each other.
Yeah, because he kept having unprotected sex with prostitutes in Vietnam, which is just like, seems like a risk.
Yep.
You know, I'm no gambler. You know, I haven't really invested any money in anything, so I'm not willing to risk like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And of course, he got married again for a second time. And his second wife, she claimed that he once put her in a chokehold, said that they had just gotten home from a party where they'd been drinking. She stepped out of the van, stumbled towards the door. She said she suddenly felt hands around her neck, squeezing tighter and tighter. It was from behind. She screamed and fought. She didn't realize that it was her husband.
And he was putting on a beautiful necklace.
A beautiful
necklace. Oh, that's great. I'm sorry.
I love it.
I don't know if you're going to be able to be the marketing director here at Zales any longer because all of your commercials involve strangulation.
All right, so here's my commercial. What we do is you come up behind, you got the diamond necklace, right, and you strangle the bitch with it.
No, we said no more strangulation, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just love giving jewelry to women. The hard way.
All right. Okay.
Gary Ridgway did actually give jewelry to women that he worked with
from
the victims. Yeah, he would take jewelry off the victims and give the jewelry to women.
Ted Bundy did the same thing.
Gary, how'd you ever afford this?
I killed a bitch for it.
And he is the funniest guy here at the office.
He was. People loved him at work.
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
In fact, when he was being investigated from the crimes the first time in 1984, everyone jokingly called him Green River Gary.
That is hilarious. They laughed.
Yeah, everyone laughed.
So I
still have to finish this story.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so he grabs a hold of her, squeezes tighter and tighter. He lets go, and he darts around the van and then comes back up and tried to pretend that someone else had done it.
Oh, people do that all the time. Yeah. He's just having fun. He's just having a good time.
And she also said that he loved to sneak up and scare her.
I love scaring people.
Yeah, but and she said that he could walk silently.
I mean, the main difference between you and Gary is, you never give your girlfriend jewelry.
Sad. Yeah, it's weird.
Let's just reboot, huh? Give him the old reboot here.
So the second marriage
But
is
he's
also,
been murdering this entire time,
No,
right?
He hasn't been.
Not
no.
yet.
Okay. No, he didn't start murdering until the 80s.
Yeah, he didn't start murdering until the 80s. His second marriage is also when
Huey Lewis put out the album Sports.
Yeah, right around the time of Sports. This is when he started getting super fucking religious.
Okay.
Yeah, he became obsessed with religion. He started going door to door, proselytizing.
He was Pentecostal. Those are like speaking in tongues.
I know all about
real them. Dickheads.
I mean, this is also the same time his sexual urges have been increasingly ramping up. And he said it's like his wife said that he would try to get sex from her 8 to 10 times a day.
Yeah.
And you can see immediately it's here where it's like, I feel like that's what really spurs it. Like what we see all the time is like, what's the thing that finally pushes it over the edge is that the religion gave him this sort of like remorseful feeling. He definitely had a Virgin Mary horror complex where it's like he looked at women as basically just as objects for his sexuality. And then as soon as they were done with that, he not only hated himself, but them for doing it. And he fucking wanted to kill them.
I think this is a sign of intelligence though, right?
Because
this is the same thing that BTK
did.
He can read the Bible.
It's the same thing, it's the sign of a stupid person.
No, but
anybody who reads the Bible and takes it seriously is a fucking
moron.
It's
not the sign of a person who's trying to make society believe they're not a serial killer. It's like Gary Ridgway, BTK, John Wayne Gacy, all of these people touted around the Bible and everyone's like, well, they're holy men of God and sometimes they clown on the weekends.
But the difference between, I think there's a difference between active intelligence and survival instinct. I think you can read things. It's again, my retarded cousin was a manager of a McDonald's. He was in charge of scheduling.
I want to meet him, by the way, and I can't wait. Henry's so-called retarded cousin's going to walk in here and be like, Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi, hello. My name is Winston Alistair. Good to meet you.
I do think that Gary was definitely spurred on by the Bible.
If I
may read from, if everyone would please open their Bibles.
You may not, sir.
Please open your Bible. I can do the sound effect for the opening the door is also the same for opening a Bible.
It is also very similar to the time machine that you created.
Mm. Please open your Bibles and read along with me from Ezekiel 16, 35 through 40. Now then, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your filthiness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered and your harlotry with your lover, I will gather them from all around against you and will uncover your nakedness to thee, that they may see all your nakedness. And I will judge you as women who break wedlock or shed blood are judged. I will bring blood upon you in fury and jealousy, and I shall stone you with stones and thrust you through with their swords.
I'm erect.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like that. It's one of my favorite Bible scriptures I've ever heard.
Of course, he's talking to prostitutes.
Now, right. Is this true? Is this in reference? Did you just find this, or did Gary bring this up?
I just found this.
So okay. Do you think that because of his belief now in the Bible that prostitutes are like worse than, you know, humans, well, that he was able to kill them without feeling remorse?
I think it was that he felt he had uncontrollable sexual desires, which we also see in Albert DeSalvo. He had the kind of the same thing. That's why he did what he did, is that he had uncontrollable sexual desires. I think there was a point that he probably felt that he was being punished by God for it. But the problem is that his impulse control was null and void. So he started having sex with prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And basically, he blamed them for letting them have sex with him. Yeah. Like, right. He started feeling like, because that's what they were talking. He blamed the victim. He said that they brought it out. He started believing that they were bringing it out of him, that he was punishing them, that part of it, that him killing them also absolved himself of his own sins.
Yeah.
It's all, mm-hmm. yeah. And again, you just have to be fucking two shades of an elm tree dumb to fucking think that all this is real.
Yeah. Two shades of an elm tree dumb. It's like when you watch an erotic pornography film, but then you click it off it's like when you watch
it.
I'm not pornography.
When you watch your stag films with your buddies in a fucking basement in a VFW.
But then you click the X and then it goes away and then you're like, well, now it's gone forever, and that never really happened.
You see, sometimes I'll end up just watching it.
You just watch it after you come? You stay on the porn that you're watching?
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit.
For a bit, yeah.
I don't feel shame.
No, it's not about feeling shame, but what's going on Facebook?
What are you talking about?
You gotta go to...
You feel shame.
I don't feel shame.
This is on you.
I feel a little shame.
I feel no shame.
Yeah, Marcus, I
keep it a secret. I keep it quiet. I keep it safe. But I don't feel shame.
That's wrong.
And Gary Ridgway did not feel shame either. In fact, he told the cops later on, he said, I thought I was doing you guys a favor killing the prostitutes. Here, you guys can't control them, but I can.
Yeah. So
it's all about control.
It's all about control. All and it's about also control. About punishing and self-righteousness. You believe that you are the hand of God. You're dealing out God's punishment to people.
The fact that they didn't notice the 49 missing prostitutes in about,
There was a Green River Task Force.
So this is the problem. And then again,
on par with the hot dog squad,
thing.
No doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Because they started concentrating on the Green River and waiting for more bodies to show up, and they stopped showing up. Because he was just started dumping them all throughout the forest. Yeah. And it was like,
he'd take them to different states too. In fact, one time he took his son on a camping trip next state over.
He only had one son, right?
Yeah, he just had one son.
Yeah, and they always go, I tried looking up information on him and I couldn't find
it. I found a ton of stuff on him. Apparently Gary was a good dad.
Sure.
He had a great relationship with his son.
I mean, he had a full active marriage at the end of all these murders. He had a full life that he was technically normal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His son said that he had no idea whatsoever that there was anything even wrong with his dad. Right. I mean, his mom did tell him when he was in like fourth grade, he was like, you know, your father might be the Green River Killer.
You know, and there was also time because he said that he was picking up extra hours at the plant. He worked at a chemical plant, and he was saying that he
didn't work at a chemical plant. He worked as a painter. He painted
car trunks. Yeah. There was another, but there was something else.
And
he was
fantastic at it too. He was really good at painting trucks.
So very under the radar. And I do think that it sort of validates his claim that he's helping out the cops. That's the fact that they didn't ever busted the guy. I mean, it sort of plays into his theory that it's like they must be happy.
Prostitutes wasn't helping the cops.
No, but in his mind, he thought that it was.
Yeah.
And they never, I mean, I just feel like this guy is it's pretty simple to bust 49 murders in 2 years.
He
was
moving them all over.
He's got to have blood under his nails.
Like I was saying earlier, that that trip that he took with his son, the whole time there were two prostitutes in the trunk. that he was he had taken with him on this camping trip so he can dump them out of state, dump the bodies out of state. And he took his son with him on a couple of different outings. There was
dad would never take me on outings with his friends, you know what I mean? And yeah. He's technically a better father than my father.
I mean, you can't put a price on father-son bonding time. You know,
I mean,
you get 49 hookers.
Yeah,
lives.
49 hookers.
That's the price. I don't know.
Yeah, Richard said that. Yeah, one time he went and picked up a prostitute with his son in the car. The kid was about 7, mm-hmm. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just picking up a friend. We're we got to go out and do this thing." They went out to the woods. Gary left the kid in the car, and Gary used his son
to
disarm.
That was his MO.
Yeah, he would use pictures of him or just the kid himself to disarm the prostitutes. So like, oh, he's sweet. He's a father.
Right.
And then he'd take him out and kill him, sometimes with his son still in the car.
We also see him similar to Dennis Rader, where he would walk in and he would kind of set it as if, like, I know it's like fucked up, but basically he's like, I just want sex from you. Like, I just want to have sex with you. This is all I want to do. And then like to calm them so that they didn't panic before he killed them.
I think it's much creepier that he had his son with him the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time. Much creepier. And it's just ironic that they were like, oh, but you're a father? And it's like, no, you're picking up a prostitute with your 7-year-old son.
Yeah, he's
very
in the car.
Creepy.
Like, he's in. He's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not showing you pictures out of my wallet, you know?
He would do that too, though. Like, when his son wasn't with him, he would show them pictures and be like, this is my son. He's my light of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And go, it's like, they're used to dealing with fathers because fathers, they sometimes, everyone's, I guess, got something secret on the side.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's not that bad. I mean, it's like when politicians, the God gift to being a female politician is having a Down syndrome kid. So then you can just, pour it all over town. The woman who gave the State of the Union address for the Republicans after Obama, all she did was talk about her Downy kid. And it's like, stop pouring out. That's worse than what Gary Ridgway did to his son.
Yeah, we found 6 mentions of her Downy kid in one speech.
Yeah, you have to do is, you take him, put a bunch of Olympic gold medals on him, give him an American flag hat, and that is a picture op. I mean, like,
it's perfect.
You're going to have a lot of pictures that are not going to make it because he's not, like, smiling, like, just right.
No,
you know what I mean? He's going to be a little
askew. Most of the time, the pictures are they can be kind of creepy.
Him reaching for the camera,
You might as well. You shouldn't have used the hamburger camera, to be fair.
Look at the hamburger. Me, Jake Hamburger.
Yeah.
No, Dolphin. Why did you name him Dolphin?
He wanted to name himself. And we let him because we're nice progressive parents here.
I'm Dolphin.
All right, then. Whatever you say, son, we'll never discuss unless it's for political reasons.
So speaking of mental disorders, I believe that Gary Ridgway, I believe that the mental disorder that he suffered from the most was obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He was very strange, very fastidious, and really obsessive.
Very obsessive about things. He was obsessed with garage sales and junk sales. He was obsessed with gardening and even his job.
You know, going back to BTK again. He loved good lawns.
He loved good lawns. He kept things really, very tidy.
Right.
He was a horrible maniac.
Gary used to be one of the, he used to go to the dump and just pick through shit at the dump, trying to find little gems here and there to remodel his house, because apparently his house was very nice, full of antique furniture.
I see.
Oh, that's nice.
In his actual profession, which did this for 32 years, he painted trucks on an assembly line, but he did the detail work on it, which was very meticulous and very difficult to do. Like, back in the 80s, they would have the stripes on the cars and all that.
Yeah.
He was the guy that would put all the masking tape out for it and do all the fine detail work on it. One of his coworkers said he was quoted, "It gets pretty repetitious, pretty over and over and over. If you went in at 6 a.m. and you were thinking about something, then by the time you leave at 3 p.m., that thing has gone through your head 600 times. And
there's people driving around and just like commenting on the great paint job of their truck.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever did that, that's a good guy.
That's a good guy. That's a good
hard-working guy.
Solid hard-working dude.
I'm so glad we replaced these people with robots. You know what I mean? We can't build more serial killers,
Yeah, well, no robots aren't going to kill anybody. Good idea, Henry. We're fine.
And of course, this plays into his obsession with prostitutes and his compulsion to kill.
Now,
he had to kill.
No, his active years were 83 and 84, right? So it's like this was all, and then sometimes in the early
90s. 82 to 84.
So wait, what is this? What's more specifically, what happened in this time period?
Well, what happened in this time period is that what he would do is he would go and he would pick up the prostitutes, of course, show them pictures of the kids to disarm them. Then he would take them out somewhere secluded. included. And he had a, he of course had a progression of how he killed. At the beginning, he killed the prostitutes with his bare hands.
But then he
course,
was saying that he would get all these defensive wounds.
Yeah, he would get defensive wounds as they fought back. That's when he moved to ligatures, essentially just using ropes to choke them to death. And he would dump these prostitutes in different areas, which he himself called clusters.
Okay.
And he would return to the sites of these clusters and have sex with the prostitutes. Sometimes he would even do it with his son still in his car. He would take out girlfriends to the sites of the clusters just nearby and have sex with them. And he said that he would drive by these clusters all the time. And he said he would wake up at night with nightmares that he had forgotten where he dumped his bodies. Because then if he
loved his bodies,
if he lost the bodies, yeah, he lost his control, because that's what he wanted.
Because he wanted them forever. He could always go and, yes, and have them whenever he wanted.
Did he ever go to the Bundy route of necrophilia? Did he go back and touch
absolutely
on the bodies?
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact.
Yes, he did. He went back and had sex with the prostitutes multiple times after they were dead. But after a while, he began burying the bodies so he wouldn't have that temptation.
He literally had to block himself. Yeah. He literally had to bury them so he would stop digging them back up. And then during the investigation, there's a movie called The River Man that brings this up, and they talk about this, is that during the investigation, they literally went to Ted Bundy, mm-hmm, and so we're like, well, what do you think? They were like trying to figure out like how to stop the Green River Killer, uh-huh, and he was like, if you find a fresh grave, he's like, stake out the grave, because this guy's going back and he's fucking with the bodies, and he was dead on the money.
Yeah, except it didn't work.
Yeah, no. The cops were bad. The cops just sucked at it.
You could ask Gary the question of like, at what time in decomposition is the best to have sex with a corpse? And he could give you an answer.
Absolutely.
He'd be like, oh, I go in 8 days. I found eight days after you murder him. That's when the pussy's just time. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. It has to be. It has to be before they start to putrefy and liquefy.
Yeah, because then they're not a lady anymore. Now they're just a bunch. Now it's just a, what's it called? It's a compost heap.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just bones.
Plant some
and
flowers
goo
in there. You get some nice tomatoes.
Yeah.
Get some good tomatoes out of their prostitutes.
Anyone else notice like the Gary Ridgway tomatoes? Like they taste like human hair.
I kind of like it.
At the crime scenes, though, Gary Ridgway, he did think these things through. He used to deposit cigarettes and chewing gum at the grave site.
He would take them out of ashtrays and stuff like that. Other people ate it and leave it so that they would run DNA tests on it and find somebody else.
Well, this was before really running DNA tests.
Yeah.
Like, he was only putting them off so they could say, like, all right, we're looking for a guy who chews gum. We're looking for a guy who smokes cigarettes. And he would also draft.
And it was the early 80s. Who didn't smoke or chew gum? Yeah. We're looking for roughly 300 million people right now, so we're whittling it down.
You know how many suspects they had in the Green River case? 500.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was busted in 1981.
83,
like, he was busted for in conjunction to missing prostitutes. And how did he get off? There was like a thing where it was like...
He took a polygraph test. He
passed a polygraph test.
Yeah. Very easy to do, by the way.
Yeah, which they said they went back and they looked at the results, and they're like, oh, according to 2001 like testing parameters, he would have failed.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though. The polygraph can be very easily passed if you're a true sociopath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't react, did you kill 80 fucking chicks?
No.
And he's like, you're like, all right, then.
Yeah, so
you're good to go.
Yeah, you're solid.
I mean,
yeah,
he could be holding a woman's head in his hand and be like, do you have a woman's head in your hand?
No.
Well, I guess my eyes deceive me. Yeah.
So it's after he gets caught in connection with these prostitutes, they let him go. However, they do take a DNA sample from
him. Yes, and this ends up being his undoing.
They take a DNA sample from him, but it's also around this time that he meets Judith Mawson, who is his third wife, and, you know, he stopped killing right after that because, you know what?
It's the power of love.
I love this. Keep this song going.
Woo! That's got to be something seeing her, though. I wonder, what did she look like?
She must have been gorgeous.
No, she was a pretty average-looking woman.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, she was a pretty, yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's still Gary Ridgway's third wife. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. No, she said that he... kept her, or she kept him from killing.
Did she really love
just loving him?
Sucking that dick. Gotta suck that dick. If you want to be with a man, or like, let's say you like this guy, he seems kind of cagey, could be a murderer. You know,
sure,
what? Play with his balls like three times a day. You're gonna solve a killing. You're gonna stop murder.
That's what
blowjob save lives.
This is a direct quote. She says, "I feel I have saved lives by being his wife and making him happy."
That's just what you do. You play with his nipples.
Right. What's it?
You know, you run your hands through his hair.
What's her name?
Her name is Judith Mawson.
Judith, yeah. So, like, if maybe Judith, if she just stays in the tub for, like, 4 hours, and then she comes out, and she's all pruny and wrinkly, and then she plays dead. And he's like, well, this is close enough. Thank you, Judith.
Yeah, maybe she was just giving it to him.
Yeah, and she had no idea anything was going on. She didn't even know the Green River killings were a thing because she said she didn't watch the news.
That's a great thing for a white person.
That's why you need to be informed.
Well,
that's
yeah,
why
I mean,
you need to watch the news, people.
No.
You know, I like
no,
chicks
you don't
who don't
ruin
like
that ignorance. Yeah. You don't want to ruin a marriage. Yeah. I never want to find out someone's murdering somebody.
Definitely
because as long
not.
As they're not murdering you, because I was saying they're having fun. They're probably doing doubles karaoke.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going out in canoes together.
Sure.
You know, he doesn't have to murder. I mean, he still murdered three times.
He still did murder three. Yeah,
but
once
you have
80s,
to every once in a while. I mean, you know, I quit smoking cigarettes and then you pick back up.
I agree.
Yeah. 87, 88, and 98.
Yeah, I mean, 98, you got Mambo Number 5 came out. You got to get back into this.
That Lou Bega song will drive anybody insane. I totally agree.
Yeah, you're walking around. Yeah. You keep seeing Monica's everywhere. You're ready to just stab, 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 stab.
I agree. Yeah.
And he was happy during this time. All of his neighbors described him as an extreme extrovert. He was always talking. Some people even described him as too friendly. One person said, when I was out in the yard, I couldn't get anything
done. He kept playing
with
my zipper. Because
he wanted to talk all the time.
Yeah. Well, Gary had a lot to say.
This
he just
is great.
Wanted to talk.
See, this is sometimes, it's a transformative power of love.
Yeah.
This is the sweetest story we've heard so far.
Honestly, like, that's the one time you ever see. It's like true love saved him, you know? I mean, it didn't save 49 prostitutes' lives, possibly 71.
Maybe.
You know, but that's just what it is. You know, it's keep searching. Fill out that eHarmony profile.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you can't find somebody, Gary Ridgway did, and so can you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is a... This is the sweetest we've ever been on the show. And we're still discussing a man who killed just under 100 women.
Yeah, see, the problem is that at least he didn't like, I don't know why I feel that there's something different to him. At least, you know, he didn't try to wear their skin. He wasn't playing with their eyeballs and stuff. You know,
yeah, he wasn't a dickhead like BTK.
Yeah.
BTK is the worst. We can't even go on with
it. Who do you think had a bigger negative effect on the overall psyche of humankind? Gary Ridgway or Dennis Rader?
Oh, Dennis Rader.
Yeah, because of his terrible poems.
He heard comedy and he heard poetry.
No,
he heard
Gary
the arts.
Ridgway was at least, he was nice. He did a good job painting cars. He was giving back a little bit, you know, good father for all that we know. I feel bad for the prostitutes.
Definitely. Yes.
I feel bad for them.
When
he was killing the prostitutes, were they clean kills? Because he seems like a very organized, clean
It was very
gun.
Quick.
Yeah.
So
it was just strangling
and owning. It wasn't
about
torture. It was about just getting it done. And it was just, you know, it's that fucking dumb religion that does it to people. Mm-hmm. Religion will take dumb, crazy people and make them violent, crazy people.
Yeah. Well, I think his older brother is really to blame for putting his hand in cold water all those nights.
That's the problem.
When he was growing up. This is all Greg Ridgway's fault.
Why do I do it? He's like, oh. The other one keeps putting shaving cream in his hand and tickling his face with a feather.
Yeah. Yeah. He just writes in his journal how to make your brother a serial killer.
How did he end up getting caught?
He ended up getting caught by soliciting prostitution in November 16th, 2001.
That's the problem, is if you just quit it, man.
Yeah, he went back to it. He had $30 and a pair of latex gloves.
You can get a prostitute for $30?
In Seattle, you can.
Seattle, you can.
In 2001. The inflation of the last 13 years has been vast.
So it's like $45 right
now. It's Nordstrom. It's like the Nordstrom rack of prostitutes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they he got arrested for
soliciting.
And
they were all very young.
Undercover.
A lot of these prostitutes were super young. Like, he went after the very inexperienced prostitutes.
Yeah, one of them that he killed, it was 16, this is creepy as shit, is that he first started choking them face-to-face and looking them in their eyes, but after he killed the 16-year-old girl, he said that he couldn't get the image of her face out of his head,
so that's when
he started doing it from behind, so he wouldn't have to look him in the eyes anymore.
Yeah, so it wasn't the thrill, it was just, he just felt fucking rage about the fact that they would even have sex with him, and then he'd murder them. All right, so what happened? Yeah. So he just got picked up for soliciting prostitutes?
He got picked up for soliciting prostitutes, and they, I mean, I guess at this time, they were just running DNA samples of people running DNA samples.
A much improved science at this point.
And so they ran DNA samples on him, and there were hits to three different...
Murders
way back in the day, and then they looked into three more murders, and they found that there was a kind of paint on these women that was used in a very specific time period only in the plant where Gary worked.
Now this girl's stupid. Now she got a racing stripe on
her. Yeah. She's got flames on the side of her head. So, I mean, it looks awesome.
Oh, it's a great... that is one of the best corpses I have ever seen.
Man, that was badass. I love seeing them flames on the side. It's like she's moving real fast, but she's a dead girl.
Yeah. She's not even on fire. She's not even hot. She's actually real cold.
Yeah, she's cold. Cold and touch. Freezing cold. Stiff. Stiff as a board. But I gotta say, though, them flames look like they were moving. I didn't even see such shadow in work.
Whoa. So Gary's going down for 6 murders. He knows he's going down. And Oregon has the death penalty, so he knows he's getting a needle up his arm. That's when he goes to a plea bargain.
Yeah, and he says, I'll show you where the bodies are if you don't kill me.
Yeah, if you don't kill me, mm-hmm. I'll show you where there are 49 more bodies.
And he's still sitting on. He's still sitting in jail.
Yeah,
he's alive.
He's serving 48 consecutive life sentences.
And so he got nailed for 49. There's one that was unidentified. That's why it got tucked off the thing, because they couldn't officially identify her because it was just a skeleton.
Yeah,
right.
And so he, because all these murders now, or all the murders are at least 18 years old. They've been buried for 18 years. This is year 2001.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It took, he just kind of stupid his way to success.
I mean, it's
which is kind of what I'm gunning for.
Yeah. You'll run a McDonald's
stupid
one of these days.
Your way up the ladder. You know?
You know what's weird is that he didn't admit that he had sex with any of these prostitutes until after the trial.
Yeah, because he was that was what he was ashamed of.
He was ashamed of the sex, not the killing. Huh?
The killing.
Yeah, he was fine with the killing.
No, because that's what he said.
It's in the Bible. I read a Bible verse earlier that said it is okay to kill prostitutes, but then of course there are dozens of Bible verses that say that it's horrible to have sex. So in his fucked up Bible-addled mind, he didn't do anything wrong.
No, the sex was the bad part. He was clearer in the slate every time he had sex with a prostitute.
Yeah,
I mean, really, not the most compelling of the stories, but the numbers are so damn high.
It's the mystery that was involved.
And I guess but that's how he was able to get those numbers so high, right? Because he was just like so under the radar. Even though he was on the radar, he was somehow under the radar.
And even after, I mean, not even talking about when the murders themselves were happening, but even after he got caught, the Green River Killer story wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It didn't even go out like among people who know this shit like us. Yeah. Like, of course, we knew about it. But as far as like national news stories go, it wasn't a Dahmer. It wasn't a Gacy, because Gary Ridgway was boring as fuck and his victims were prostitutes.
But this is the problem. Right. Again, it's just like it was under-investigated.
Yeah.
They just let him go for so long. And it's more of an evidence of like showing the problem with criminal investigation in this country. And there's always these, every time we see these, the reason why these string of crimes come together because of competing districts, competing different police offices, like the FBI and the local police not communicating. It's always malpractice. And that's why they get off so long.
The ignorance of people around. If you're a bartender and Gary Ridgway was in your bar and then he leaves and he put all the cigarette butts from the ashtrays and took
and
all the
buckets.
Gum, then you're like, that's weird that he took all those cigarette butts.
So it's like, hey, he's got a collection. He's like, cool. Gary's cool.
Yeah. I love when
Gary paints those flames on those trucks back there. Gary's a good guy.
Yeah. Very, very good guy.
All right. So now we've covered the quote unquote official story.
Oh, okay.
But there's always, we've covered this other episode, the government allows certain things to happen behind the shades.
So it wasn't the power of love?
No.
It was not?
Seattle Green River mass murderer Gary Ridgway worked for the Satanist elitist who control the entire Northwest infrastructure.
This is the truth.
See, the average man on the street would have never been afforded this state-fronted financial legal support, so how did Gary Ridgway deserve such silver spoon treatment from the state of Washington unless the legal expenses were necessary to pay for the cover-up and the protection of Ridgway's elitist CIA mafia handlers and his connections.
Wait a second, elitist CIA mafia?
CIA mafia handlers and his connections to the Northwest elites, and they're all controlling satanic infrastructure.
Because you know how Seattle, Washington is full of the elite.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's absolutely. Kurt Cobain was in the Illuminati.
Microsoft.
Think
about that.
Jesus Christ, people. It's like you're not even paying attention.
I just don't know much about computers. I'm more of a writing things down man.
See, here, this is something that I didn't know. The elites have have already had their judges and legislatures make the term Satanist, Luciferian, and necromancer not admissible to be usable as terms to be used in any and all U.S. courts of law in case at some time that the non-elitist, non-Satanist, non-Luciferians, and non-necromancers were to finally get their act together and come after the vast membership of this all-powerful and super-wealthy network that includes most of the legislative, judicial, enforcement, bar association, and corporate elites of the United States, including all previous U.S. presidents after the elites had John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, to name only a few of the many hundreds of thousands and millions of people that they have had murdered and excepting Jimmy Carter. But this list includes fully the entire Bush family and all of their reigning elitist networks.
You know, there are a lot of people that are like kind of like the hotheads. They're hotheads. They,
hot-headed,
don't even think about it. You know, they just start writing a blog. They start getting it right on the blog, you know. Yep. And this is what I'm going to say to everybody out there, all right? You know, before you sit down and you want to write that treatise, like against the CIA mafia handlers and how they're connected to the Green River Killer, you know, take a smoke break. You know, take a chill pill. Take a chill pill.
Take a chill pill.
You know, also otherwise known as Xanax. Vicodin.
Right. Anything that is a Johnson & Johnson Pfizer product.
You know what I mean? You don't need to go straight to paper with it.
Right.
You don't need to go straight to printing with it.
Sure.
You know, maybe write a rough draft. Sit on it a little
bit. But if you
bit.
Don't put that out on the internet, how is Becky going to know that you're a genius? that's the major question.
Also, you just have to have a really good lawyer to use being a necromancer as an alibi. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. You have to have, like, a really good, we're talking like a Robert Shapiro type lawyer to really use that, the necromancer defense.
Yeah, Father Kardashian.
He couldn't possibly kill them because he was too busy making, like, a plasma fire with his brain magic.
Oh, was he a necromancer?
Yes.
Well, we can't charge
him. More of a pyromancer.
He's the funniest lawyer we've ever seen here in Seattle.
See, I disagree right from the heart. Whatever comes out, just put it out there.
Yeah. That's just true.
What's the name of this website?
This website, let me check.
I just want to hear the title of the website.
Oh, it's going to be very intense.
Let me get to it.
Yeah, we gotta know. These guys always have very clever names for their sites.
Yeah, I mean, it's from the website is called apfn.com.
Not this one.
But, well, the name of the article is Gary Ridgway, A Decoy to Save Satanic Establishment, Part 2.
Whoa.
And just so you know, the first
sounds like a Vanilla Fudge album.
Yeah.
And just so you know, the first article was filtered on the way to posting.
Oh.
So apparently, the first one, although you do kind of need to know everything from the first one.
Because it feels like he's like taken up in the middle of a topic, like he got started
he jumped
on something else. I mean, first he was talking about like the Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity breakfast special at IHOP and how that is, you know, a part of the satanic elite fucking agenda.
And you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Seattle. And did you know the entire Seattle, Boeing, Microsoft, Corporate Northwest is a Jewish, Zionist, Bilderberg, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Carlyle Group, Bohemian Grove, Masonic Secret Society.
Did you say anything about Carl Weathers? Did you say Carl Weathers as
is he dissing Weathers?
Black Pope, Jesuit, CIA, NSA, Satanic, Luciferian, Necromantic, Mafia, and there's a huge cover-up that has been incurred at the expense of and the abidance of the extremely trusting and naivete non-satanic Northwest citizenry, and they're having been extremely misled and not informed by the satanic elitist owned establishment media.
If there was a CIA Luciferian necromantic it's satanic CIA mafia, I'd be signing up for an internship.
Oh, sure. I mean, this, the final sentence is, and those are all the words I know. Because he lets it all out there. There's no doubt about that.
I love that guy. Good for him. I'm glad that he's at your office right now typing that.
Oh,
think he's doing the TPS reports.
Working at Chase Bank or something like that. You know, it's just in charge of your money. Yeah. Whatever.
And what's his name? We don't know, man.
I will never know.
Is it anonymous?
Yeah, it's anonymous.
It's
not
probably
sign.
Something
I love the courage
like
it takes to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The courage it takes to post anonymous, you know. Well, Gary, we're just going to do a one-parter on Gary because, that's pretty much all that there is
to
it.
I mean, besides the whole CIA mafia, Luciferian, elite, Jew, Zionist, Microsoft connection, which is a whole other episode.
I don't know where the connection is. But
well, that's because you don't have your third eye open,
man. Maybe it's because you're a fucking puppet of the shadow government.
What happened?
You're a puppet. Just like J.K. Rowling in the satanic Potter movies.
Yeah, cut the strings, man. Yeah. All right? Don't be a fucking Pinocchio, man.
Yeah, because the satanic elites have a vast network that annually kidnaps and ritualistically sacrifices murders for more than 400,000 American children,
shake off
young
the puppet
people,
masters.
And women and their political enemies annually.
Don't serve their agenda.
Right.
Your ignorance, your non-action, sir, the Zionist, Microsoft, Charleston Chew, Shadow Elite.
No, yeah. Charleston Chew, that's a candy. That's just a nice, tasty treat.
Yeah, when you're a part of the brain-dead fantasy sitcom and sports channel world... That's when they
break out of it. That's why I say, that's why I jumped out of the paradigm. What I have been doing, like, I left the grid a long time ago, and that's why I have Apple TV.
Oh,
Netflix.
Wow.
I choose what I want. I won't let them tell me what to watch, but I do like the suggestions for you because it seems that their algorithm has gotten pretty tight as to what I enjoy.
Yeah, well, you know what that is? That's just subtle Luciferian and witchcraft oriented
Microsoft, Zionist.
These are just, again,
Walt Disney, Time Warner. I forgot. Those,
yeah,
these
Burger are just King, you know.
No, don't bring Burger King into
don't
it.
Don't even talk about what salami's made out of, because you want to look at it. Dogs missing on the street, cats missing on the street. You got IHOPs involved.
What is
that? You know, a whole bunch of people.
Before you pass out, we better
Skip-its.
End.
Skip-its are just... Skip-its just keep you jumping in one spot, right? Keep jumping in one spot so you don't go out and you don't vote. You're so worried about your skip-it number that you're not out there making a change.
Well, it's important for kids
Fucking
to exercise.
Fucking Zionist, Microsoft, Charleston Chew establishment.
Again,
bacon bits, bacon strips, pepperoni.
All right. Those are all dog foods. Those are treats. All right,
your
everyone.
Your dogs eat better than half of the world.
Fancy feast is right. Made well, out of hail out Satan. Africans.
Hail yourselves, Magustalations.
Hail me.
Hail Gene.
Good Lord.
Don't fucking eat Charleston Chew anymore. It's controlling your brain.
It's not controlling your brain. But
Zionists,
I did.
Zionists, Microsoft.
Marcus Barks on Twitter. Ben Kissel on Twitter. Henry Loves You on Twitter. But I did put the tape over my computer, the screen. So do that in reality.
Oh, on your tape? That's disgusting.
I did.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Do you have that?
Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.